Levi did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber as you listen. This is their story. In Shipley, construction training providers turn away qualified applicants while building sites across the Airy Valley advertise for the same skilled trades those applicants want to learn. The work exists, the people exist, the training capacity exists. What blocks them from meeting is a political choice dressed as financial constraint.
I've always loved watching buildings go up. As a kid in Saltair, I'd walk past the old mill and imagine the craftsmen who built those solid stone walls. The precision it took to cut each block. My dad was a site foreman before his back gave out, and he'd tell me about the pride you feel when you see families moving into houses you helped build. After A-levels, I took labouring work to help with money at home. But I kept thinking about those new developments sprouting along the Airy Valley. Sustainable timber frames, passive house standards, the kind of construction that actually makes sense for the climate we're facing. I wanted to be part of that, to train as a carpenter and work on housing that would last generations. In early 2023, I applied to Leeds City College for their construction skills certification. The woman in admissions was polite but firm. "The course is oversubscribed," she said. "Funding has been cut. We simply can't take on new trainees this year." I tried Bradford College next. Same story, different words. CIT. "Levy money isn't available for new trainees," the administrator told me over the phone. "The Construction Industry Training Board has tightened eligibility. We're operating with skeleton provision." Desperate now, I contacted the Construction Industry Training Board directly. After being transferred between three different departments, a coordinator finally told me Yorkshire and the Humber has reached capacity for apprenticeships. We're not accepting new applications until the next funding cycle. But none of it made sense. Every day, I'd see the same building sites around Shipley with signs advertising for carpenters and joiners. Good wages, immediate start. The Baildon development needed skilled trades. The Saltair restoration project was crying out for traditional craftsmen. The demand was right there, visible from my bedroom window. Then I went to an open day at Leeds City College. I wanted to see the construction workshop to understand what I was being denied access to. What I found changed everything. I counted 30 empty workbenches in the main workshop. 30. The place was designed for full classes, equipped with every tool you could need. Mitre saws, mortising machines, workbenches that looked like they'd barely been used. An instructor named Dave was showing a handful of visitors around, and I asked him about the capacity.
"False."
"We could train three times as many people," he said quietly, glancing around to make sure no one else was listening. "We've had to turn away 40 applicants this year alone. Good applicants. People like you, who actually want to learn." I pressed him. "But they said there's no funding." Dave stopped walking and looked at me directly. "The funding exists," he said. "It's been frozen by Treasury spending rules. They treat training investment as deficit spending rather than economic development. We've got the space, we've got the staff, we've got the equipment. What we don't have is permission to use it." That's when I started to question everything. If the people exist, and they do, I've met dozens of them, all wanting the same training I wanted. And the building exists, and the equipment exists, and the instructors exist. Then what exactly was it that there was no money for? What was this mysterious shortage that kept all these resources from connecting with all these people? I began to see the sites differently. The Baildon development that needed carpenters wasn't some abstract market force. It was 43 houses with planning permission, designed to passive house standards, sitting unbuilt while qualified instructors sat in empty workshops and potential carpenters like me stacked shelves or moved boxes. The government that issues the pound, that prints every note and mints every coin, was telling me it couldn't find enough of them to train people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed. They did. Whether the skills could be taught, they could. Whether the materials and tools were available, they were. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching the developments go up with imported labour, while local people like me get told there's no capacity to train us. But I understand now that this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Levi experienced has a name: cherry picking. This is when someone selects only the examples that support their argument while ignoring overwhelming evidence to the contrary. It's like concluding that bridges don't work because one bridge collapsed while ignoring the thousands that carry traffic safely every day. Every time someone told Levi there is no money for construction training, they were cherry-picking the rare examples where government building programs faced problems, while ignoring the decades when Britain successfully built council housing, trained trades at scale, and connected local workers to local projects. Vienna built 60% of its housing through public programs. Singapore's public housing program houses 80% of the population. Every major UK city built successfully at scale until 1980. They pick the failures and ignore the pattern of success. The objection Levi heard was typical. Other councils tried building housing and it failed, but selective examples prove nothing. Vienna, Singapore, and every major UK city until 1980 built council housing successfully at scale. The question is what conditions make it work, not whether it has ever failed somewhere. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. And in Shipley, those resources were sitting idle. The empty workbenches existed. The qualified instructors existed. The people wanting training existed. The building sites needing workers existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. According to the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, Shipley ranks 375 out of 543 English constituencies. The Charity Commission Register records 1,301 registered charities in the constituency. 360 giving grant NAV shows £26.5 million in total grants received. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.